John Kuhn and Sean Richardson are officially back in Green Bay for another season, and the Packers' annual tailgate tour is underway. We'll talk about all these topics with Marcus Eversole of WDUZ Radio in Titletown. It's all coming up on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We got some free agency moves to talk about. And to join us to talk about those this morning, we have a guest on the phone.
Expert interview.
We have Marcus Eversole, WDUZ Radio in Green Bay. Mr. Eversole, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. An early morning, but that's all good. Appreciate you having me on.
Glad to have you. I appreciate you having me on the radio on WDUZ the other day. Wanted to repay the favor, but we've got lots to talk about. Not exactly breaking news here, but happening since the last episode of Railbird Central, John Kuhn has re-signed with the Packers for the NFL's veteran minimum salary with a few small bonuses. Marcus, the question here is whether it's worth it at all to bring back a 32-year-old fullback that's not a full-time player. Is it worth it?
I mean, for the veterans minimum, I suppose it is, but it's like the last few years has kind of been wondering, was this John Kuhn's last year with the Packers? And every year it's not, it seems like. But, I mean, the fullback is really non-existent. It's being phased out of offenses. I mean, Kuhn was the first team All-Pro last year, but he played just 20% of the Packers' snaps. So it's kind of like, what is an All-Pro fullback these days? But again, for the veterans minimum, Kuhn keeps sticking around. I can't really second guess the move.
Is this John Kuhn's last year in the NFL?
This could be John Kuhn's last year with the Packers, but again, I really think I've been saying that for about 3 or 4 years now. And it's like him and Jarrett Bush, they just never leave. But well, maybe Jarrett Bush will. Maybe Jarrett Bush is done in Green Bay. But yeah, John Kuhn keeps sticking around, and we'll see. The thing that helps him, though, is he knows the offense better than anybody. He's one of those glue guys, a core special teamer and things like that. So I don't know. I'm going to not bet against John Kuhn staying in Green Bay until he's officially retired or signed with another team.
He might just become a coach or something. I don't know. It's maybe, but I know we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but I think this brings up an interesting conversation regardless. What do you, let's hypothetically here, let's say this is John Kuhn's last year in Green Bay. What do the Packers do with the fullback position when Kuhn is gone, regardless of when it happens? Is it phased out entirely? Do they go more H-backs? How will it play out?
I mean, I think you still want a fullback. You still want a guy who can be a lead blocker here and there. But then you think about that, and, I mean, McCarthy, the Packers have used a tight end in the backfield at times. So you wonder, that's a good question. Do they go to an H-back type that can play in the backfield and play outside? You can split them and do different things like that. Even though Eddie Lacy's a bruising back and you can run without a lead blocker, in short yard situations, you still want a guy like that. It's not a huge part of the offense by any means. Again, Kuhn was a first-team All-Pro last year and he played 20% of the snaps. So you're not looking for a full-time player, a guy who's going to play 80% or whatever. I think they'll still have a guy on the roster that's a prototypical lead blocker. Maybe they even look to the draft this year in the later rounds or an undrafted guy to do that. But I think they will have a fullback on the roster. I just don't think you're going to use him all that much. Other than special teams will probably be the primary role.
You alluded to Jarrett Bush before. He's the team's final free agent on the market. Do you give me a prediction here? Yes or no? Will Jarrett Bush be back in Green Bay?
I say yes. I'm staying with the logic that until John Kuhn and Jarrett Bush are signed by another team, I'm going to assume they're back with the Packers, because that's just how it goes.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they will bring him back, especially, they're losing some depth at the cornerback position. I realize he's not a starter. He's not even maybe a preferred backup, but I think he can still help on special teams, and if they suffer an injury or something, be of help to them. Also on Monday, the Packers matched the offer sheet for safety Sean Richardson. Did you agree with paying Richardson nearly $1 million more than he would have made under his tender offer?
I was surprised by it, but, I mean, looking at it from different angles, it makes a lot of sense. He didn't play a ton on defense last year, but he's a core special teamer. And you remember McCarthy earlier this offseason talking about using starters on special teams and how the culture is going to change in special teams. You really wonder which starters are really going to play on special teams, or if that was just kind of something to get people excited about maybe an improved special teams unit. It's you gotta contain the guys that have been playing on all special teams, and that was Richardson, played on more special teams units than anybody else on the roster. But now he's the second highest paid backup on the team. And you look at what the Packers have lost at corner, and you wonder, with losing Devon House and Tremont Williams, does that mean Micah Hyde is going to play more corner? If that's the case, you need depth behind Ha-Ha Clinton Dix and Morgan Burnett. Sean Richardson gives you that. Good size. Obviously came back from the neck injury. And we had Russ Landy on, former scout, yesterday on Sportsline on The Fan. Say shameless self-promotion there. And Morgan Burnett owed a ton of money the next couple of years. Not to say that he's going to, be a cap casualty or anything like that, but it makes you wonder. You want to be able to protect yourself, and I think Richardson, at least in part, gives you that.
So do you think he'll see a bigger role on defense this season? We know he's going to play a big role in special teams, but do you think there's more in store for Richardson on defense?
I got to think so. I mean, he played 11% of the team's snaps last year on defense. I think that number is going to probably double. I mean, again, quarterback is still a question mark. Like, first round is definitely a possibility. There's a lot of late first round possibilities at corner, but you lose Tremont Williams, an every down player. You lose Devon House when he was right. I mean, he was playing a lot on the perimeter. Micah Hyde or Casey Hayward is going to be playing outside. The other one's probably going to be playing in the slot, in the nickel. That creates a void at safety where Micah Hyde was last year. Like, they found ways to get him on the field with Clinton Dix and with Burnett. I think that's Richardson, though. I think he's a guy that can play near the line of scrimmage on rundowns. You can put him at your big safety in the box, play against the run and cover tight ends and things like that. I think he's going to play a lot more in the sense.
Yeah, I hope to see that as well. All right, you alluded to it, so let's get into a little bit of draft talk here. Is there a player in the first round you seem to be find yourself cheering for more than anyone else? Everybody seems to have their own kind of man crush on a prospect you'd like to see in Green Bay. Do you have that yet?
Well, I've watched an inside linebackers, because I think that's clearly the Packers' biggest, most glaring need. Corners up there now, seeing as what they lost in free agency, but the one guy, when I've watched all these inside linebackers, and I know you like Eric Kendricks a lot, and I think he's got a chance to be a good player, probably the first inside linebacker off the board. But I think Denzel Perryman, people are hot or cold on him. Russ Landy yesterday said he was not a big fan. He's just not big, not a great athlete.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like everything I hear about Denzel Perryman is everything I heard about Chris Borland. And I thought wherever Chris Borland was drafted, it was going to be too late. It's interesting now using that comparison, seeing as Borland retired after a year, but you can't shy away from drafting Denzel Perryman just because he's similar size to Chris Borland or plays similar. They're both around the football all the time. They don't have prototypical size. Perryman goes about 5'11", 236. I just think he's going to be a hell of a player in the NFL. I think he's going to play a really long time. Second-round pick, maybe. Maybe he falls to the third, like some are projecting. Maybe he goes late first, like others are projecting. I just think Denzel Perryman is going to be a hell of a player.
I can buy that. When you talk about guys who have a knock against them, and no matter what the knock is, whether it's size, whether it's an off-field issue, I think those are reasons you don't take a guy in the first round. But if you're talking second round and later, I think, okay, you're not paying them crazy money in first round. Now you can take a little bit of a chance. And it wouldn't surprise me if you know, they took Denzel Perryman in the second round or something like that. I can certainly buy that. Okay, Marcus, all things being equal, I mean, if it were on the first round and the Packers have a cornerback and an inside linebacker graded almost similarly, almost the same, do you go with the cornerback or the inside linebacker?
I think you go with the corner. I think you go with the inside linebacker because the position right now is just not that you're really deep at corner, but you're really, really not deep at inside linebacker. Mm-hmm. And that's assuming you're going to play Clay Matthews there. I think in the perfect world, he's outside, maybe kick him in occasionally. But I mean, Sam Barrington was good last year, but you're banking on Sam Barrington being the guy. Like, not a proven guy over the last 2 years. Sam Barrington, we're talking about, is your staple at inside linebacker. You need another guy there. You might need two guys there. If you have a similar grade on a corner and an inside backer, you go with the inside backer. The thing is, I'm not sure if you will have a similar grade. Assuming Eric Hendricks is off the board at 30, there's more options just looking at the position rankings and things like that. There are more corners that seem to be a better value at that spot than there will be inside linebackers. So maybe it's, you know, a debate that won't ever come to fruition.
It is interesting. I go through the same thing myself practically every day, just a toss up in my mind. Yeah. It seems like Kendricks may be off the board by that time. I mean, who knows? But I mean, so then, do you want to go for a Perryman or a Stephon Anthony in round one? Whereas there may be several cornerbacks to choose from, whether it's Kevin Johnson, Jalen Collins, Byron Jones. So yeah, I don't know what the answer is. I struggle with it every day, but I know exactly what you're saying. Speaking of cornerbacks, two of them are on the Packers tailgate tour. Casey Hayward and Micah Hyde. Were you there at the media availability as they embarked on the tour yesterday?
I was not there, no.
You were not. Oh, anyway, I mean, regardless, we know Casey Hayward and Micah Hyde are doing this. What roles do you envision them playing in 2015?
It's interesting. And I guess a lot of it depends on the draft. If they get a guy who is more comfortable on the perimeter, because both of them kind of played the same role, at least at corner. I mean, Casey Hayward never played any safety, but when he's at corner, he's in the slot. And same thing with Micah Hyde as a rookie. And even last year, if he was lined up, you know, on somebody in the slot, whatever, they both played a similar role. I envision Casey Hayward being the air quotes starter. I think he'll be on the outside opposite Sam Shields. But I mean, the way that the cornerback room is right now, one injury. If Sam Shields were to go down and miss a couple games, all of a sudden both of them are playing on the perimeter. So whoever wins that job, the other one's going to have to be ready to play because they're both going to be on the field a lot. They're both going to be playing outside at times, and that's something they haven't done.
I like the audio medium we're using where you actually have to say air quotes to put that around Casey Hayward. Is it possible, another hypothetical here, which I realize is dangerous, but let's say the Packers grab a cornerback in the first round. Does that bump Casey Hayward out of a starting role? Can a rookie cornerback first rounder be a starter instantly?
I think so. And I mean, it's interesting too, because I think Casey Hayward last year, and then his rookie year, of course he had a great rookie year, but didn't play a ton. I mean, he was never an every down player, looking at about half the team snaps or whatever and sub package and things like that. I think a rookie could come in and bump him out of the lineup. I mean, that being said, he's still going to be on the field. You know how much they use the nickel package that. But, I mean, say a guy, you know, a 6'1", 200-pound corner in the late first round, maybe a guy like Byron Jones, who's just an incredible athlete, like a man amongst boys on, you know, as far as athletically at the combine, what he did, just incredible. Jalen Collins, LSU. I mean, there's a lot of good size at corner, too, and that's typically what the Packers seem to do. So it wouldn't shock me. It would not shock me if a late first-round pick ended up starting for the Packers if a cornerback is worth that pick.
Yeah, I'm there with you. Marcus, I appreciate all the time this morning. Thanks a lot for joining us. You provided some great insight, and let's do it again sometime.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you. Marcus Eversole of WDUZ Radio here on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well. Just some housekeeping duties. The only way to watch this episode this morning is on our live stream channel, which we're certainly very grateful to have and have that opportunity for people to watch, because Cheesehead TV is down right now. We apologize about that, but we're glad you have another option. As soon as the website's back up, we'll get this episode online. Just so you're aware, it may be a while before this episode is actually podcasted, or a little longer than usual. But anyway, let's get into some other stuff here in the world of the Green Bay Packers.
Packers news of the day.
On this Wednesday, April 15th, the Packers, we already covered the news that the Packers have signed fullback John Kuhn and safety Sean Richardson. We got into that a lot with Marcus Eversole, but I think this piece of news dovetails quite well. According to Tony Pauline of DraftInsider.net, the Packers brought in Aaron Ripkowski of the University of Oklahoma for a pre-draft visit on Tuesday, so just yesterday. Ripkowski is one of the best pure lead blockers in this year's draft class, and maybe that's an indication that the future of the fullback in Green Bay isn't over yet. Perhaps you maybe haven't heard of this name a whole lot, but what's interesting here and something I wanted to share, because I think this flies under people's radars. I think, you know, fullbacks in general kind of aren't at the tip of people's tongues when you're talking about the draft and things like that. But I thought this was really good, because was listening to the, the Moving the Sticks podcast from NFL.com, hosted by Daniel Jeremiah. He frequently has on analyst Charles Davis on a lot. Davis, of course, it works for the NFL Network as well, one of their draft analysts. He, you know, works the Senior Bowl, the Shrine Game, things like that. He works as a analyst on Fox, though, during the college football regular season, kind of his main role. They're just, you know, talking NFL draft, and Charles Davis ranked Aaron Ripkowski as one of the top three fullbacks in this year's draft class. And Ripkowski wasn't even invited to the NFL Combine. So, I mean, you can understand why the Packers would want to bring him in and talk to him and things like that. They didn't have the opportunity at the Combine or the Senior Bowl or anything like that. And it's weird, because I think if you look at a lot of NFL draft websites and you look at the top fullbacks in this year's draft class, you're going to, of course, see, I think, you know, almost unanimously, the top name is Jahlstin Fowler of Alabama. And I do agree, he's the top fullback in this year's draft class. But after him, you're going to see names like Tyler Varga of Yale and Zach Zenner of South Dakota State on these fullback lists. And tell you what, folks, I'm not sure either of them are true fullbacks. I mean, these guys are like 220 pounds or so. You know what? That's practically Eddie Lacy territory. And I mean, you can make the argument that Eddie Lacy might be as big as a fullback. But I mean, John Kuhn's like 250. These guys are like 25 pounds less. These guys are halfbacks. They were college halfbacks. And, you know, I hesitate to go here, but I wonder if some people just simply look at these guys and see they're white. So, and oh, they're fullbacks. But, you know, Tyler Varga, I think he can kind of be an H-back or a slot-back kind of guy. The Zach Zenner of South Dakota State, I think he's a halfback. I don't think he's a fullback. Just, yeah, I haven't seen a ton of him, but watching him in the All-Star games, he was at the East-West Shrine game. The little bit of film I've seen of him on the internet, I think he's a fullback. I don't think these guys are fullbacks here. So that's why, I mean, you may have Aaron Ripkowski. He could arguably be one of the top two or three kind of true fullbacks in this year's draft class. So it's you understand why now the Packers bringing him in, taking a look at him. And as Marcus Eversole said, you know, you think that the Packers, you know, maybe they're not going to have three fullbacks on the roster like they did back, what year was that, 2010, when they had Corey Hall and John Kuhn and Quinn Johnson all on the roster at the same time, which was ridiculous. Hey, they won a Super Bowl with all three of those guys on the roster, though, so I guess you can't complain too much. But I can certainly see the Packers kind of keeping one true fullback on the roster, and maybe it's time right now to start looking for the replacement. I don't know, because, I mean, if you look at the replacement this year, let's say they sign Aaron Ripkowski or draft Jolston Fowler, whatever. I mean, now you're looking at keeping two of them on the roster on the 53 in 2015. I'm not sure how much you want to do that. I mean, the Packers have done it before. They've kept three, so maybe two isn't all that big a deal with them. But,
yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if the Packers kind of kept that true, you know, devastating blocker. I think you want to have that for Eddie Lacy. And ideally a guy that's well-rounded that can do, you know, almost everything, that John Kuhn does, you know, obviously a great pass blocker. John Kuhn is, you want a guy who can be able to touch the ball, both catching the ball out of the backfield and the occasional carry. Although I'd like to see John Kuhn carry the ball less. I've been saying that for, I swear, 5 years, and they still keep giving him the ball on those, fullback dives. I'm not against the fullback dive when the Packers are up by, you know, 21 points in the fourth quarter. By all means, feed John Kuhn away. And I'm not even against the occasional fullback dive in close situations if it were to happen twice a year and it would come by surprise to the other team. But I'm more about giving the ball to Eddie Lacy than I am about John Kuhn. But yeah, so I just thought that was interesting. Packers bringing a very good fullback in for a visit this week. And thought that was kind of appropriate here, considering the news that John Kuhn had re-signed 2 days ago. But over the course of the past week, we talked about Sean Richardson a lot on this show. I gave many reasons why the Packers should, you know, match the offer by the Oakland Raiders for Richardson. And I think the Packers made the right decision here. Richardson going to be one of their special teams core players. I think he could be in line for a bigger role on defense. I think this kind of shows this interest by the Raiders kind of shows that, you know, other teams see things in him as well and think he could, you know, he's capable of doing more. So the Packers should take advantage of that, you know, perhaps as a dime inside linebacker. I've talked a lot about that already, but you know, the one other thing I wanted to get to, in other news, just this morning, Packers defensive lineman Mike Daniels appeared on the NFL Network and was asked point blank if any contract extension talks were taking place. Just happening here Wednesday morning he came on at 7:40 a.m. Central Time. A lot of people still probably sleeping yet and maybe didn't have a chance to see it. But Mike Daniels kind of playing coy. He gave no straight answer whatsoever. Basically saying he's just working at becoming the best player he can be. And that's good. You know, that's a good response from him. I'm sure even if talks were taking place, he doesn't really want to make them public. I don't know. Maybe he should, perhaps, in his own self-interest. But he is, of course, Mike Daniels is the next player in line for a contract extension in Green Bay because he's entering the last year of his contract in 2015 here. It'll be his fourth and final year under the original rookie contract he signed. And it kind of remains to be seen whether he'll get an extension before the start of free agency or not. And it's interesting that just before the start of the show, I saw a tweet from Lombardi Avenue, and it asked, you know, will the Packers offer Mike Daniels an extension before free agency next year? And that's great. You can ask that, but you can also ask the inverse of that question. Will Mike Daniels accept a contract extension before the start of free agency? Because, I mean, just take a look with that salary cap going up. With there were the start of free agency, the contracts were outrageous. Their players are being paid more than they've ever been in NFL history. You know, what the salary cap go up this year? Something by like 10% or something like that. So teams have a lot of money to throw around, and I don't know if we're going to see that percentage rise again. You know, that much of a jump in the salary cap. It's hard to say. I don't really know. I know money's flowing in from their new TV deals, but I'm not sure whether it's going to be another 10% jump or anything like that. But still, players are going to be paid a lot. So Mike Daniels just may want to, you know, just play things out and just continue. You know, he may want to reach free agency, or, you know, he may want to play it exactly how Randall Cobb and Brian Bulaga did, taking the Packers to the brink of free agency when they're more likely to perhaps cave a little bit and they don't want him to, you know, reach the open market and perhaps open up the purse strings just a little bit more than they would. Mike Daniels has every right to do that. Now, there's a lot of arguments against that as well, and I understand those. There's risk in doing so. He could accept a contract extension now and get a nice little signing bonus and have some security, because if he were to play out the season, you're also banking on you don't get injured. So, you know, all of a sudden, if Mike Daniels were to get injured, suffer a season-ending injury, land on injured reserve, all of a sudden that money kind of perhaps dwindles a little bit. I mean, depending on how major the injury is, you know, if it's something, you know, just happened toward the end of the season and they just, you know, have to put him on IR because he'll miss a month or whatever, that could be different. But you know, you suffer a torn ACL, something like that, not going to see as much money as you once did. There will still be a market for Mike Daniels regardless, just because he's a good player, just maybe not as much, you could say. So I don't see Mike Daniels. I think sitting here right now, I think he'll play it out. I think he'll play out the 2015 season, and, you know, maybe he doesn't reach free agency. Maybe they get the contract extension before the start of it. I do think he will be re-signed. I think he likes playing in Green Bay. I think the Packers like him. I think he's a great player. He's the best defensive lineman they have right now. But yeah, that's the way I see it. Again, a lot of time to play out here, and certainly no deadlines in sight here. But just interesting that, you know, he talked about it on the NFL Network this morning and kind of in the news. But our last segment here.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, this Wednesday, the tailgate tour continues. They will be, they were in Menominee, Wisconsin, way out in the western part of the state on Tuesday evening. Today, on Wednesday, the stop is in Prairie du Chien, kind of in the La Crosse area of the state, still out west there. And then on Thursday, they will be in Baraboo, more of the central part of the state, south central, I guess you could say. Not far from where Railbird Central headquarters are, actually. So that's what's going on. You know, cornerbacks Casey Hayward, Micah Hyde, tight end Andrew Corliss, all along for the ride this year, along with, you know, several Packers alumni. Jerry Kramer, wide receiver Antonio Freeman, defensive lineman Gilbert Brown. We talked about on the last episode of Railbird Central, you know, how cool it was that the Packers do this every year, kind of a week-long goodwill tour throughout the this year. It just happens to be the state, but in previous editions, they've gone over the borders and into surrounding states and things like that. And I think that's really cool. So if you're in the area, go check it out. I know some places, at least, tickets were still available to these stops. You know, they do Q&As, they do autograph sessions, things like that. So go check it out. A good place to see these players up close, and especially with guys like Casey Hayward and Micah Hyde along this year. Plenty to talk about those guys and the roles they'll have on the team. Just like we talked about earlier here on the show with Marcus Eversall and what's in store for them during the 2015 season. So that's what's on tap for today and in the next few days. We'll be back again on Friday. In fact, my fingers are crossed. I haven't gotten every single detail yet, but we are hoping to have Packers linebacker Sam Barrington on the show on Friday. I'm really excited for that, to talk to the guy who's, you know, pretty much slated to be a starter on the team. And you probably may have read the article on him in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Just, was it earlier this week? Was it on Sunday, I think? I mean, he's really excited. I know he's kind of looking forward to being a leader and saying all the right things. Excited to talk to Sam Barrington about the inside linebacker situation and all that stuff here on Friday on Railbird Central. So every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, we have a show. We'll see you later, folks. On behalf of everybody here at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Kiravu. We podcast the show later in the day. Anyway, we'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called All My Life by DJ Harry on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack. Go.